Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. If you want to see one of the largest populations of shorebirds along the East Coast, Monomoy National Wildlife Refuge off the coast of Chatham is the place to be. It's teeming with species, including cormorants, egrets, herons, terns, sandpipers, and the federally protected piping plover. 12% of the state's piping plover population nests on Monomoy. The refuge is also a choice destination for kiteboarding, also known as kite surfing, a sport growing in popularity. It's like a combination of windsurfing and paragliding. But the federal agency that oversees Monomoy says kiteboarding and piping plovers are a bad mix. So it's proposed a ban on the sport there, and that's caused howls of protest from kiteboarders who believe they can enjoy their sport without posing any threat to birds.
So we are heading south on the Oyster River, heading out towards Sage Harbor.
To get a sense of how much Pete Van Amsen loves kiteboarding, look at his LinkedIn profile. It shows him, a 50-something financial analyst, soaring above the water on an airborne kiteboard. He owns a house in Chatham, and he took us to Monomoy, which is accessible only by boat.
So why kiteboard out here? Why is it a good area to kiteboard?
When the wind is blowing, it's probably one of the best places on the planet.
On the planet?
Yes. It's a bold statement, but the water can be warm, the wind is steady, and the sandbars just create a tremendous variety of conditions.
They also say it's scenic and serene, gorgeous open water, undeveloped beach, frolicking seals. It's like communing with nature. And nature, says Libby Herland of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, is what Monomoy is meant for.
I cannot possibly convey in words the importance of Monomoy to migratory birds. It is a national wildlife refuge. It's not a park.
If Herland's agency has its way, kiteboarding on Monomoy will be no more. And the proposed ban is supported by the Audubon Society and Sierra Club.
Anchors away.
Back on the boat, as soon as we get to Monomoy shore, Eric Gustafson, who owns a Wellfleet water sports company called Fun Seekers, spots a piping plover. They're small and gray and white with distinctive markings.
There's our little friend. See the ring around his neck? The black ring? He's hunting and pecking right now.
On the beach, the kiteboard setup begins. Gustafson unrolls a 17-meter-wide kite that resembles gigantic bat wings. Then he pumps it full of air. And once it's inflated, Gustafson hooks a harness around his waist and, with the help of the wind, jerks the kite into the air. He steps onto the board and he's off, whipping across the water. Barry Payne learned to kiteboard from Gustafson, and he's distraught by the proposed Monomoy ban.
I mean, I feel it's like tragic almost. You know, this is such a beautiful part of the world, and I think the people who kite really respect the environment. It seems almost crazy to me to have a sport like this that it has no footprint on the earth that gets banned.
The problem with kiteboarding, in the view of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, is that the kites and their shadows scare piping plovers. Here's the agency's Libby Herland again.
Kites are a problem because to a bird that's on the ground, they see something up in the air and they think it's a predator. So they will leave the nest. And when a bird leaves its nest, if it has eggs, those eggs are not going to be incubated.
That's why the Fish and Wildlife Service's proposed conservation plan for Monomoy prohibits kiteboarding.
I understand why some people are upset, but people like kiteboarders can go anywhere. These birds don't have the ability to go to other places. They have to go where the food is and where the habitat is right for them and where there's really very little disturbance.
But the kiteboarders believe there's no proof that their sport has any negative impact on the birds. And the Fish and Wildlife Service admits its concerns are based in part on a 2-decade-old, unpublished, unpeer-reviewed master's thesis by a University of Massachusetts student who did research on how kites, not kiteboarding, which wasn't yet a sport, but kites, affect piping plovers. That has Barry Payne incensed.
I mean, I think if there was hard science to prove that we were somehow adversely affecting the wildlife, then we would absolutely have to change the way we're doing things.
But at this point, you're just not convinced that that science is there?
I think there's absolutely no evidence. And in fact, one of the most popular kiting beaches in this part of the world is Revere Beach. And that has one of the most well-doing plover population on the East Coast.
We tracked down the writer of that 1993 thesis paper, Edwin Hoops.
Is one kite border going to cause any problem? Well, probably not.
Hoops now teaches environmental science and technology at Cape Cod Community College.
But the question is, how many kite borders would cause a problem?
Hoops says, based on the piping plover behavior he observed when he was a graduate student, like the birds taking off when people flew kites near them, he believes a kite boarding ban is the right call.
My bigger concern would be to err on the side of caution as it relates to this.
The director of the Mass Audubon Sanctuary in Wellfleet, wildlife biologist Bob Prescott, says there's anecdotal evidence to back up Hoops' research.
Here we have people that are coming to our facility to look at birds, and all of a sudden the kite boarders come whipping through, put all the birds up, the birds are gone, and then the kite boarders go on their way.
And the Fish and Wildlife Service says it isn't required to prove that something is harmful in order to ban it. It simply has to find that any human activities taking place in its refuges are, quote, appropriate and compatible. And the agency has determined that kiteboarding is not.
I find that stance to be arrogant.
Sean Summers is a Chatham selectman who sides with the kiteboarders. He says a ban would be the latest chapter in a long story of government overreach to protect nature at the expense of reasonable beach access and recreation, which fuel the Cape Cod economy. The proposed kiteboarding prohibition, Summer says, is one example of why so many Cape residents put stickers on their cars that say, rebelliously, piping plovers taste like chicken.
What they're doing, through not only just the overregulation, but the arrogance with which they do it, they are creating a next generation of folks, kids of these beachgoers, who are growing up learning to really have a disdain for species protection because of what's happened to them and what their parents talk about.
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service points out that kiteboarding is already banned elsewhere, including along the Cape Cod National Seashore. And the agency says kiteboarders can still go to other Cape beaches to do their sport.
He's going to drift to where the water is just a little bit shallower.
Still, kiteboarders like Pete Van Amsen are incredulous that they could be banned from Monomoy while motorboats are allowed there, and they believe there's room for compromise.
Kiteboarders are people who really want to enjoy their craft or their sport in nature, in harmony with nature. We're not out there, you know, hunting and killing animals. We're not polluting. You know, this, I think, is the kind of use that you'd want in a natural refuge.
The Fish and Wildlife Service is accepting public comment on the Monomoy Conservation Plan until October 10th. It will then decide whether to put the kiteboarding ban in effect. And by the way, you might have heard piping plover, pronounced piping plover. We're told both ways are acceptable. To see pictures of Monomoy's piping plovers, or piping plovers, and its kiteboarders, go to our website, wbur.org.